The National Security Agency's collection of internet data might be massive, but it's legal. An independent agency, the Privacy and Civil Liberties Oversight Board, has released a thorough report on how federal agencies track foreign communications under Section 702 of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. The law has come under some fire since Edward Snowden leaked documents on NSA programs more than a year ago. Sharon Bradford Franklin is executive director of the PCLOB, and she joins us now. Good morning. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
All right. So first of all, let's narrow down what it is exactly the board studied. It was specifically a program called PRISM, correct?
Actually, it's a little broader than that. PRISM is one aspect of the surveillance program that is operated under Section 702 of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, or FISA. PRISM refers to the collection of what's called the downstream process, and it also includes what's called the upstream process. Both aspects of the program involve the collection of information from targets who must be foreigners located overseas. Under this program, the government cannot target any U.S. persons, so no U.S. citizens, no legal residents, and no one else present in the United States. However, they can collect communications where someone in the United States is on the other end of a call with a legitimate target.
I guess it's probably a technological marvel as how they can even do that in the first place. But to get back to the board itself, what is the genesis by which the board studied this? I mean, whose direction were you working under?
Well, we weren't working under anyone's direction. The board is an independent agency within the executive branch. And actually, the board, last year in March of 2013, when there were only four board members and the chairman had yet to be confirmed, the board actually announced to the public some of the programs that it was going to be looking at. And one of those did include, actually, Section 702 of FISA. Our chairman wasn't confirmed until May of last year, May of 2013, and he actually was sworn in and then took the job 4 days before the Snowden leaks. So after that happened, then there was a lot more focus on this program as well as the telephone metadata program. And that, at that time, then the president and various members of Congress also called on the board to look at these both of those programs. So that increased the focus and priority for this review. This was the board's independent decision to take on this review.
Okay, so in reviewing something like Section 702, how does the board go about doing this review?
Well, it was a very lengthy and involved process. The board had multiple meetings and briefings with representatives of the agencies that operate the program. It's not just the NSA, but also the FBI and the CIA play roles in this program, and then there's oversight by the Department of Justice and a lot of work coordinated by the Office of the Director of National Intelligence. The board had full access to classified information. All members of the board and staff are fully cleared to access that information. And the board also took a lot of input from the public, holding a series of public hearings, hearing from representatives of industry groups, NGO advocacy organizations, academics, and a variety of others. And the lengthy process, but I think ultimately, that shows in the report. One of the key values, I think, provided by this report is it provides a comprehensive picture of the operation of this complex program. And the board was also able to get declassification of a lot of information about the program and hopefully can allay some public misconceptions about how the program really works.
And it's probably safe to say the board has five members. You probably don't have a cast of thousands to help you with this work.
No, actually, we may have discussed this when I appeared on your show about the board's earlier report. We've been staffing up we've been working to staff up, but the board really only came into existence about a year ago at full strength. And since only the chairman has the authority to hire permanent staff, we do have a small staff, although we have been working to hire.
Okay. So your finding is that the PRISM program and the way these operations were happening under Section 702 are basically legal, but there were some caveats to that.
That's correct. The board found that under the statute, the statute was publicly debated, and the text of the statute outlines the basic structure of the program, which is in contrast to the board's findings regarding the Section 215 program. And it found that the PRISM aspect of the program that you mentioned earlier is clearly authorized by the statute. And then there's one aspect of the upstream collection, which I'm happy to talk about a little later if you'd like, called the about collection, and that that was a permissible reading of the statute, even though the statute is silent on that. Then with regard to constitutional analysis, the board found that the core of the program, as I'd mentioned, you know, targeting people who are located outside the United States, fits within the totality of the circumstances standard for reasonableness under the Fourth Amendment. But the caveat, I suppose, that you mentioned is that outside of this core, the board found that certain aspects of the 702 program do push the program close to the edge of constitutional reasonableness and made a series of policy recommendations to push the program more comfortably into the zone of reasonableness. And a couple of those features involve the a known and potentially large scope of communications of Americans that are collected under the program, what's called incidental collection, the use of what's called about a collection, as well as the use of queries to search through collected data looking for information about specific U.S. persons.
So in other words, it's like a big fishing net, and you want to make sure the dolphins don't get caught up with the chum that you're trying to use or throw onto the boat.
Hadn't quite thought of that analogy. the basic concept here that if you're an American and you are in communication with a legitimate foreign target, your communications can be collected. Mm-hmm. And then after that, what can the government do with that data? You were never a target in the first place. There's no showing of suspicion against you. But then under what circumstances should the government be able to look through the collected data searching for your communications after the fact?
We're speaking with Sharon Bradford Franklin. She's Executive Director of the Privacy and Civil Liberties Oversight Board. And so you were going to talk about the upstream analysis, the About program. Tell us what you found there, too, because we've talked about PRISM.
Sure. So the basic concept is that in upstream collection, which is collection directly from the internet backbone, the government can get not only communications that are to or from a target, but also communications that are what's called about a target. And to be clear, the about is what's called a selector. It's something like an email address associated with the target. It's not a keyword or the target's name. So if you were talking about somebody who might be a target just using their name, that certainly wouldn't be something that could be captured. But if it is the actual selector, something like an email address of a known target, even if that appears in the body of a communication, such as the body of an email, that could be captured through about collection. But what the board found when looking at this is that for technical reasons, the about collection is a necessary feature of the program. And if it were completely eliminated, that would have the detrimental effect of, really diminishing the scope of the government's collection through upstream, including its ability to capture some communications that are actually to or from a target, and also some other communications that may involve the internet behavior of the target, him or herself. So it's not something where the government is just going out seeking this about collection. It's sort of a necessary feature of the program.
All right, so you're drawing some pretty fine lines about where the government should go and where it should not go. And in these policy recommendations, how do they get to become policy at this point?
Well, none of the board's recommendations would require legislative change, so all of them can be implemented by the executive branch, and some of them would require then approval of the FISA court, which does oversee the operation of this program. So the board has been working with the intelligence community agencies and the Department of Justice to explore the program and hopes to be able to continue to work with the relevant government personnel to seek implementation of the board's recommendations.
All right. So, okay, then at this point, is the board done now, or are you going to look at other aspects? I mean, there seem to be like a dozen programs. I mean, Edward Snowden let out 100 million documents. Is the board done on this particular topic, or do you have more to go?
Well, the board's agenda is not going to be dictated by Edward Snowden and what he has been revealing to the public, but we certainly are not done. The board announced actually at our public meeting where the Section 702 report was adopted that the board will be holding another public meeting on July 23rd. At that time, the board will be announcing some issues that are already on its short-term agenda. And we'll be seeking public input on other issues that members of the public believe should be on the board's agenda so the board can assess those. We already have other things going on, although more in the background, legitimately with our small staff and just getting up the Section 215 and 702 programs have been dominating our review. But the board has a role under the president's executive order on cybersecurity and has been in consultation with DHS on that. The board has already also been talking to relevant agencies on their implementation of what's called Executive Order 12333, which involves collection overseas of signals intelligence, and we'll continue that work. And there are other issues, certainly, that will be talking about on July 23rd and after that.
Okay, and on this latest report, there was a pre-release version put out a couple days ago on your website, and the board voted, was that unanimous yesterday, to adopt those findings?
Yes, the board voted unanimously to adopt the complete report. All of the recommendations, the 10 recommendations within the report and the analysis in the report are unanimous. Some members did write separately. Two of the members would have added an additional recommendation, but that was not adopted by the majority.
And a lot of people have weighed in on this already, you know, the privacy advocates and the different interest groups. Has anyone from the government that might be affected directly by this, have they any indication of what they think of it at this point? It's pretty soon.
Director Clapper, Director of National Intelligence Clapper, did issue a public statement yesterday welcoming the report and saying he would work with the board going forward. Haven't personally seen other public comments by government officials.
Well, at least you don't have to work over the 4th of July weekend on this one.
That's true. That's helpful.
All right. Sharon Bradford Franklin is Executive Director of the Privacy and Civil Liberties Oversight Board. Thanks so much for joining us, and have a good weekend.
Thank you. You too.